الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began his khutbah by reminding the Muslims to have taqwa of Allah the way Allah deserves it, and to know that the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best way of life is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of affairs are the ones that we introduce into this deen of ours, because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation will lead astray, and whatever is astray will be going to the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, interpretation of the meaning in English, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah, and let each soul look at what it has put forth for tomorrow, meaning for the Day of Judgment, and fear Allah. Verily Allah is all knowing of what you do. O Muslims, there's an ayah, a verse in the book of your Lord, which you recite, and Qurra, those who are professional at reciting the Quran, recite it with beauty. And your children may repeat this verse. Had we reflected upon this verse and understood this verse, then really our iman would have increased and our certainty would have become sound. It is a statement that if we understood it, we would not be afraid of the power of the enemy or those who are arrogant. Allah says in the Quran, and Allah disappointed those who disbelieved while they're full of anger and they did not attain any goodness. The Shaykh said, the believers enter the battle and they have firm belief and certainty in the victory of Allah, that Allah will give them victory even if they were humiliated, even if they are small in numbers, even if they are poor and weak. Allah says in the Quran, and Allah has given you victory during the battle of Badr, although you were small and humiliated. It does not matter what the enemies are using as means of weaponry. It does not matter what kind of weapons they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will kill them while they do not know. And Allah will eliminate them while they look at themselves. And Allah says in the Quran, and Allah came to them in a manner that befits His majesty from places which they did not expect. And He cast in their hearts fear. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the victory where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast fear in His enemies the distance of a month, the duration of traveling of a month. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any nuclear weapons, nor did he have a many weapons or artillery. Rather, he had the weapon of Iman, which was connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who destroys the enemies. Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, if you aid the deen of Allah, then Allah will aid you and He will make your feet firm in the ground. And the shaitan will try to make those who are weak in Iman become afraid and fearful of the enemies. But Allah told us about His plot in the Quran. Allah says, verily this is only the shaitan casting fear in the hearts of those who follow him. So do not fear them and fear me if you are indeed believers. O Muslims, Allah said, and Allah disappointed those who disbelieved while they are full of anger and they attained no goodness. This particular ayah was a result of the battle of Al-Ahzab, the confederates, that happened in the fifth year of Hijrah, after the Hijrah of the Muslims from Mecca to Medina, where many of the clans grouped against the Muslims from Quraysh and from Ghatfan and the Jews, all of them came together to oppose Islam and the Muslims in order to eliminate the Islam and the Muslims. And they came with a huge army, and the people became afraid of this army, and they started to think things that are not befitting. Allah says in the Quran, and they came to you from above you, and they came from under you, and the vision became unclear, and the hearts made it to the throats, meaning an expression of fear that the Muslims had, and you started to assume about Allah things that are not befitting, meaning that we will be disappointed or Allah will allow us to lose. Verily there the believers were tested and they were shaken, in a great shake, like an earthquake. He said, so this was a test for the believers that caused their hearts to shake and made them reconsider what was going on, and it tested their iman. And many among those who were hypocrites, the sicknesses in their heart came out during these difficult times. Allah says, and verily when the hypocrites will say, and those who have diseases in their hearts, Allah and His Messenger only promised us a fake promise that Allah will give us victory. And many of the tribes tried to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to allow them to go back to Medina. This is the hypocrites. And they gave the excuse that their homes are unprotected. But Allah told us in the Quran, and their homes are protected, but they're only seeking a way to run away. And what happened? How did the Muslims deal with this situation? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought consultation with his companions. And this is when Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu arda, Salman the Persian from Persia, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, verily, O Messenger of Allah, we the Persians, whenever we were surrounded by enemies, we will dig a trench as a partition so the people will not be able to cross. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted the advice of Salman al-Farisi, and he commanded his companions to dig the trench. And the companions started to work based on the commandment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, doing it while being happy and content, although they were very weak and they were very poor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, O Allah, verily the true life is the life in the hereafter. So forgive the Ansar, the helpers, and the Muhajira, the immigrants. And while they were digging the trench, many signs and miracles happened during this time, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplied the food in the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was an abundance of blessings. And this was means of prophecies that Islam would be established on earth. And during this time, Imam Ahmad and An-Nasa'i rahimahumullah narrated from Al-Bara ibn Azib that he said, while we were digging the trench, we came across a stone that the shovels was not able to break. Every time they hit the stone remained intact, it didn't break. So they went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who took the shovel from one of them, and he struck it the first time, and one third of it broke. He said, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. I have been given the keys to Sham. The keys meaning I've been given the allowance to invade and occupy, and this will become part of the Muslim territory. The Sham, you know, Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. These were before called Bilad al-Sham, before the disbelievers divided us into what we are today. He said, I've been given the keys of the Sham, and wallahi, I can see the red castles right here from where I'm standing right now. Then he struck the stone a second time, and another third broke off. And he said again, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahu Akbar, I've been given the keys to the land of the Persians, and verily, I could see their white castles from here in my place right now. Then he struck it the third time, and the last third was broken off. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, I've been given the keys to Yemen, and verily I could see the doors of Sana'a from my place right now. He said, and this was an ayah, a sign, and glad tidings for the believers to remain firm upon their deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the believers saw the confederates, they said, verily Allah and His Messenger has only promised us the truth, and Allah and His Messenger have told the truth, and this only increased them in faith and in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Muslims, that war of the Ahzab ended by the Muslims digging the trench and the non-Muslims not being able to reach them. And they knew, they said, this is not from the actions of the Arabs. They knew the warfare of the Arabs. They said they must have learned this from the Persians, because they were not used to digging trenches during these times. And the only way the war took place is by the bow and arrow. They started throwing arrows at one another. And only a few of the non-Muslims were able to actually cross the trench. Among them was Amr bin Abd Wadd al-Amiri, a kafir, who was able to cross the trench. And he sought someone to fight against him. He asked for a competition or a battle. And the one who went against him was Abu al-Hasan Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa ardah. and he fought against him and he killed him. And the disbelievers were shocked at this particular event. He said when surrounding the Muslims and confiscating their property became difficult upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he suggested that they will give the non-Muslims a third of the dates of Al-Madinah in return that they will leave. Now the Muslims are occupied, they're being occupied, or they're being surrounded by their enemies. They are within the trench, and the trench is their partition, and the disbelievers remain there waiting. So the Prophet ﷺ thought of a suggestion that he will offer them one third of the dates of the Medina and they go back to their homes. So he consulted Sa'd, actually the two Sa'ds, among them Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. So they said, "O Messenger of Allah, is this a command given to you by Allah? Is this a command from Allah that we will give them one third of the dates of Medina and they will leave us alone? Or is this, if this is the case, then we will listen and we will obey. But if it is something that you're doing for our sake, out of pity towards us, then verily we do not need that. We do not need that." They said to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Verily these are our people. We were living with them upon the shirk and worshiping the statues, and they never even hoped that they will eat some of our dates. Now that Allah has honored us with Islam and guided us to the truth and blessed us with you, you expect us to give part of our dates? La wallah, we will give them nothing but the sword. We will give them nothing but the sword." So the Prophet ﷺ accepted their opinion and said, "Verily I only did this because I seen that everybody had come against you. Everyone has come against you in order to destroy you." So he said, the Shaykh said, "O Muslims, have you ever heard of such courage and such sacrifice? The Confederates have surrounded the Medina, and the hypocrites became exposed, and the people were afraid, and these two Sa'ds are saying, wallahi, we will not give them except the sword. What was it that Sa'd had? What was it that Sa'd had that made him take this warfare, to accept the aspect of warfare rather than calling for peace? What was it that he had? They didn't have weaponry. They didn't have a lot of numbers or anything. What they had was reliance upon Allah. They depended on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah says, and it was inevitable for us that we will give victory to the believers. And Allah says in the Quran, and how many small number have defeated many by the will of Allah, and verily Allah is with those who are patient." The Shaykh said, this was the battle of the Ahzab. Patience from the believers and victory from Allah. And it was means of glad tidings that the Islam will be established upon earth, and that Allah will not give the Muslims to their enemies. And we also learn from that how strong was the iman and the patience of the Sahaba, which nothing made them fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, "Verily you have in the Messenger of Allah a good example for those who believe in Allah and the last day and remember Allah abundantly." The Shaykh said, now 1425 years after that event, the fifth year of Hijrah, 1425 years after, we are seeing the same exact incidents, the same exact scenario. Our brothers in Gaza, the champions, have been surrounded by the disbelievers, whether it is the Jews or those who aid them from the Christians or the hypocrite Arabs, and all of them have come in one team against the Muslims and the believers. And you all see what is going on, from destruction and killing of the innocent children and the women, something that is beyond our imagination. Then the Shaykh sat down for the first part of the khutbah, then he got up in the second part of the khutbah and he continued to say, "Verily the battle with the Jews has reached a high peak, and the fire is on, and the Ummah of Islam are seeking this event from close distance. They see it while some people are busy talking too much, and others are occupied with spending their time in leisure and luxury. This is a battle against Gaza. It is a battle of the Crusaders, the Christians and the Jews. They're fighting the believers and the Muslims, and we still have time to play around and enjoy ourselves and think." He says, "Where are you, O Muslim, from this war? that the Crusader America is the one that is aiding and helping along with those from among the communists and the secularists who are fighting this against Islam while they claiming to be people of freedom and justice and people who support human rights. He says this damned cursed America and is the one that is aiding Israel financially and with weaponry and with their opinion and with everything they can in order to destroy the Muslims, telling them go ahead, fight them, kill them, eliminate them, so it can make the battle easier for them when it is their turn to go into this land, into the land of the Muslims. He said, you must know, my brothers, that all of them have come together to go against Islam. And the most we hear from some of the Muslims is that we should reach ceasefire. Ceasefire, meaning both parties stopping from firing against one another. And he said, this is unacceptable. This is not even a solution that both will stop killing each other, because this is a matter of jihad. This is a matter of fighting for the rights of the Muslim and for Islam and for Allah's word to be the most high. So that particular claim is also from among those who are hypocrites. And Allah says in the Quran, verily, neither the Jews nor the Christians will ever be pleased with you until you follow their religion. And Allah says that whatever they contain in their hearts is a lot of anger and hatred. Whatever they say with their mouth is a lot of anger and hatred, and what their chest conceal is even greater than that. So where are those who are saying that we should live in peace with Israel? And Israel is the country which continues to smash and destroy every recommendation of peace. And it does not care about any of these things. And it is a war from the shaitan, the crusader shaitan, to those who are not knowing of what's going on, the feeble-minded. And they are happy to see the brothers in Gaza being killed and destroyed. But this is a matter of jihad and fighting against the brothers of the pigs and the monkeys. And this is and you must know that this war indicates that all of the disbelievers are one team. All of the disbelievers are one team when it comes against Islam. And that they will try to destroy Islam in any way possible. Allah says in the Quran, and they will continue to fight against you until they make you turn away from your religion, if they are able to do so. Then the Shaykh went on to mention that our brothers in Palestine who are engaging in jihad and who are striving for the cause of Islam and the Muslims is something that has shocked the non-Muslims and the crusaders. So much so, he quoted something else that one of the Jews, one of the general in the army of the Jews said, verily, the war that we are having with these brothers in Palestine is not the same as the one that we had with Hezbollah against Lebanon in Lebanon. And the Shaykh said, this is obvious, because Hezbollah and his followers, whenever they fight, they say, Ya Ali, they call upon Ali. Whereas the brothers in Palestine, they say, Ya Allah, they call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're not the same in the sight of Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told Abi Sulaiman, seek death and life will be given to you. O Muslims, verily the Christians, particularly America, and their tales from those who have the same skin of ours, are assistance with the Jews in the slaughtering of our brothers in Gaza. And whatever we see in Palestine today, if we continue to be silent, if we continue to be silent, then verily we may reach a day of regret. This jihad of the brothers is from among the most important of jihad. They are using traditional weapons while they are fighting against those who are state-of-the-art technology and weaponry. And the Muslims continue to simply watch. So Muslims, present what is due to your brothers and sisters in Islam. Present what is due to them, and do not be among those who betray them and those who cheat them. Give them what they deserve. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged that, and he said, enjoin the campaign that has been established by the custodian of the two holy mosques. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him and protect him, to help the jihad and the maintenance of the Palestinian brothers in everything that they own. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Muslim is the believer of the Muslim. He does not oppress him, he does not disappoint him, and he does not submit him over. And remind your wives and your children to give sadaqah and to remain steadfast and to look at the pain of our brothers and sisters and to make dua for them at night and during the day, and to give sadaqah perhaps, or one da'wah perhaps that you will give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of the heavens and will accept it, and He will disappoint and humiliate our enemy. Thirdly, you should know who's your enemy in reality. Who is your real enemy? And you should raise your children upon doing so. Fourthly, if one of the employees, one of you who is employed, if he is able to cut out a small percentage of his salary and dedicate it to the brothers and sisters in Islam in Palestine, then this perhaps will be means of him getting closer to Allah, and will be means for him to be successful, and it will be means for him to enter Jannah. And Allah says in the Quran, and whomever is protected from the misery of himself, then verily those are the believers. And this was in a nutshell the khutbah, with some deletion on my behalf due to the time. I do want to mention something that is relevant or irrelevant to this particular subject. The fact that when the Shaykh came in and he was on the minbar ready to give the khutbah, there were only three rows. There were only three rows that are here, and the rest of the masjid is empty. And I want to understand, on Jumu'ah, is anyone working on Jumu'ah? I mean, how many people are coming from work barely making it to the masjid? Very few. Everybody's at home. Wallahi, this is not befitting, ya akhwan. Yani, it is enough what we Muslims are going through and suffering. Brothers cannot even come to the masjid an hour or half an hour before the imam. You come in the middle of the khutbah, at the end of the khutbah, you don't know what happened and when it happened. I mean, it's unacceptable. Honestly speaking, from heart to heart, we should fill up this masjid before the Shaykh comes into the masjid. This masjid should be full to the outside. Not after he begins, brothers start coming in, waking up at 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock. This is lazy. Muslims are dying and suffering, and some of us cannot even bother to come to the masjid early enough to partake in the Jumu'ah. This is from the tricks of the shaitan. And if we expect Allah to accept our dua and our supplication, and for Allah to alleviate the harm and the difficulty upon our brothers and sisters in Islam, we should at least obey Allah. We should at least be the first to be upon the deen, practice the deen, strive in good deeds. Perhaps Allah will see from us sincerity in our actions, and then this will be means of us aiding our brothers in Palestine, without being able to aid them in other means which we are supposed to. So some effort should be exerted. If you watch the TV till 3 in the morning, of course you're going to wake up at 11:30. And what is the TV going to do to us in these days? So we need to wake up from our sleep. If we want the affair of the Muslims to change, brothers, we need to change. We need to stop being lazy and taking this deen as something on the side. This is your whole life. You were only created for Islam. The only objective of life is Islam. And the only thing that will save you on the Day of Judgment is Islam. So if Islam is the last thing on your list, how are you going to be successful in this dunya and in the hereafter? It's never going to happen. So I remind myself and you to wake up, ya akhwan. Come to the masjid early. Take the reward, be in the front row. At least fill up the masjid before the Shaykh comes in. Wallahi, if I were in his position, I would be sad to walk and begin the khutbah. There's only three lines, 20, 30 brothers in the masjid. So may Allah help us implement whatever we know from the deen. Furthermore, I remind you with the dars, the weekly class on Tuesday after Salatul Isha in Masjid Al-Aziziyah. You know which one it is. The one that is from Pizza Hut. If you're coming from Arba'in, you make a ride at Pizza Hut, the masjid is right there. Every Tuesday after Salatul Isha, Barakallahu Fik, there's a dars dealing with the fundamentals of faith. And one brother says that he has an operation tomorrow, so make dua for him, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him quick healing and will protect him throughout the surgery and afterwards. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa ant. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.